From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns will bring the opening portion of a message called The Fruitfulness of Faith, the account of the faith of Abraham and Sarah. This is the seventh in a series of studies in the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is called Commonest Things Blessed. The text is Exodus 23 and verse 25. Ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. What a promise is this! To serve God is in itself a high delight. But what an added privilege to have the blessing of the Lord resting upon us in all things! Our commonest things become blessed when we ourselves are consecrated to the Lord. Our Lord Jesus took bread and blessed it. Behold, we also eat of blessed bread. Jesus blessed water and made it wine. The water which we drink is far better to us than any of the wine with which men make merry. Every drop has a benediction in it. The divine blessing is on the man of God in everything, and it shall abide with him at every time. What if we have only bread and water? Yet it is blessed bread and water. Bread and water we shall have. That is implied, for it must be there for God to bless it. Thy bread shall be given thee, and thy waters shall be sure. With God at our table, we not only ask a blessing, but we have one. It is not only at the altar, but at the table that he blesses us. He serves those well who serve him well. This table blessing is not of debt, but of grace. Indeed, there is a trebled grace. He grants us grace to serve him, by his grace feeds us with bread, and then in his grace blesses it.
Thank you.
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. Thank you. In this, the seventh message, and this series from Hebrews chapter 11, Dr. Cairns comes to verse 12, which speaks of God overcoming the seeming impossibility of Abraham and Sarah having a child because of their old age. Their carnal effort to fulfill God's promise through Hagar demonstrates the truth that the flesh always opposes God's way of doing things. As Dr. Cairns will show, this fleshly opposition manifests itself in man's determination to bypass the gospel and to seek to save himself by works. Now here is Dr. Cairns with the opening portion of this message called The Fruitfulness of Faith.
Romans 4, verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Finishing the reading at verse 21, and the Lord will add his own blessing to this familiar reading from his own precious word for his name's sake. The words of our text as we continue our studies in Hebrews 11 under the general title of the exploits of faith, the words of our text are in verse 12. Hebrews 11, verse 12. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Over the past few Lord's Day mornings, we have been looking at the faith of Abraham and of Sarah in the matter of the birth of Isaac. You'll remember that Sarah was 90 years old and Abraham 100. Humanly speaking, it was folly for them to think of producing a family. Yet God's promise came that from Sarah he would give Isaac, and in Isaac would Abraham's seed be called. By faith in the promise, Abraham and Sarah saw that word fulfilled, and Isaac was duly born. Now the words of our text take us somewhat further than the birth of Isaac and the faith of Abraham and Sarah in that birth. The text really is concerned with the amazing long-term result of that faith which they showed. It's a verse that carries for every Christian a very simple message, and yet a very searching message, and at the same time a very encouraging message, as it addresses the theme of the fruitfulness of faith. You could sum up what the Holy Ghost is teaching here very simply. Faith in the promise of the Lord. To be more precise, faith in Christ as his promised seed is the key to spiritual and fruitful living. Now, as we think of this text, I want you to note first and foremost that the flesh stands in the way of God's promise. We read of Abraham that he was as good as dead. We read in Romans chapter 4, verse 19, concerning this deadness, not only in Abraham, but his body dead and the womb of Sarah also dead. In a fleshly, physical way, there was that within them which was in total opposition to the statement of the promise of God. Now we can look at this not only historically but spiritually. The flesh is dead, and the flesh is the enemy of the promise of life. We need to learn that as we seek to serve our God. The Lord Jesus said, "The flesh profiteth nothing." This flesh that is in God's will is something that is the enemy of God's promise. It is the enemy of spiritual progress. It is the enemy of spiritual life. The old flesh is that which would seek to nullify, negate, deny, and overcome the promise, and would seek to squash everything that pertains to spiritual life within us. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit. That's what the book says. Galatians chapter 5. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit. There is a constant battling against God, against His gospel, against His truth, against His program, against His promise, against His very life. There is a constant battle against God, and it's a battle that is joined by our flesh, the old man, as Paul calls him, the old Adamic will, that internal bias that is within a man by nature from Adam, that would dethrone God and enthrone the devil. That, after all, is what the first sin in the Garden of Eden set out to do. That's what the flesh still craves to do. It is the enemy of God. But this flesh not only openly opposes the promise of life, but it seeks to supplant the promise of the Spirit by its own works. There was a time when Abraham, the father of the faithful, Abraham, the friend of God, Abraham, the heir of promise, lost sight of the promise. And at the behest of Sarah, his wife, he took her maid and produced Ishmael. What was the flesh seeking to do? The flesh was seeking to supplant the promise of grace, the promise of life, by means of a fleshly counterfeit, by means of a fleshly alternative. Galatians chapter 4 takes up this whole matter and translates it into spiritual terms. It shows that Sarah and Hagar are not only historical characters, but they are spiritual emblems. We read that from Hagar there was one born after the flesh. The son of the bondmaid was born after the flesh, whereas Isaac was born after the promise. And it says, which things, verse 24, are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. This Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answers to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. You read on down, and you find verse 29, but as then he that was born of the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. The spiritual meaning is that the flesh is wanting to be bound up in legalism. It wants to seek to produce God's favor by the works that it engenders. It wants to wipe out the promised seed. It wants to deny free grace by God in Christ. It wants to throw out the gospel, and it wants to establish self as its basis of approach to God. It would supplant the promise by means of the works of the flesh. The flesh is the enemy of God's promise. Now, that's just the statement of the doctrine. I'm not going to take the time to start pursuing that in various ways, but you can take it in every way that the Scripture allows, and you could be at it for a long time. First of all, there's a basic theological truth here. The flesh hates the doctrines of grace. When you find men rising up against the doctrine of free grace, salvation by grace, atonement by grace, in the merits of the blood of Christ, acceptance with God by grace through faith in Christ, when you find men rising up in their religion against a salvation that is of a sinner by grace through the merits of a substitute, you are seeing the flesh in action. Every perverted theology has its root in the flesh. And it is the old story of the flesh standing in the way of the promise and seeking to oppose it. There is not only a basic theological truth, but there is a practical devotional truth for God's people. You didn't get saved by the flesh. You are not going to be helped in your Christian life by the flesh. The flesh is still going to fight you every inch of the way. The flesh, which sought to stifle the promise at its very birth, will seek to hinder your progress in experiencing the blessing of the promise. The flesh is going to fight you every inch of the way. Sanctification, and I'll have a little more to say about sanctification in a moment, but sanctification is certainly the battleground of the Christian's life. Beware of people who promise you easy holiness. Beware of people who talk to you as if the devil had thrown in the towel and as if the flesh have no more enmity to the Spirit. This is the battleground of the Christian's life. Your flesh is going to rise up against you. And that which is of the flesh, that which is not rooted in the grace of God, is never going to be of use to you in your spiritual warfare.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.